Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have Sleisha Kankaria here with us today. Sleisha is the co-founder of With Clarity, the only online, direct-to-consumer, home try-on engagement ring company that marries affordability with expertise and convenience with a personal touch. Founded in NYC, With Clarity is a husband and wife team who are looking for a way to positively disrupt the traditional engagement ring industry by being deliberately different. The company has grown by 900% in the last year alone, from $2 million to $20 million in revenue, and has been featured in Forbes, named number 18 on the Inc. 5000 list, and named number 3 on the Crain's Fast 50 list. Sleisha, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really thrilled to be here and to share a story.
Awesome. And I'd love if you could start off with just that by talking more about your story with Clarity and how you got started with it.
Yeah, I'd love to. So like you mentioned, With Clarity was founded by myself and my husband shortly after we actually got married. And my husband has a background in finance and I have a background in marketing. So we kind of had, parallel interests in the business space, and we're always looking for interesting new ideas to work on. So at the time when we got married, we were both actually working in the corporate arena. I was at The Knot, which is online's largest kind of wedding resource and e-commerce shop. And Anoop was working within the finance, sales, and trading sector. So nowhere really related to jewelry or engagement rings at all. But he did have a family background in diamonds and jewelry. He's a third generation jeweler, actually. So he has that legacy before him where he, constantly draws from that. Kind of along his career route, Anoop had a change of heart where he decided he wanted to move away from the finance industry and potentially get into the jewelry industry. But looking at the jewelry industry, we saw that it was very traditional. Things hadn't really evolved or changed in the last several decades, barring a couple minor changes here and there, some fluctuations. So looking at that, we wanted to think of ways to positively disrupt the engagement ring and diamond space, which is where he has the most kind of family background. But we didn't want to go down the road of just becoming another traditional jeweler, whether that was online or offline. We wanted to do something that would alleviate the pains and stresses that young couples all around us, our friends, were experiencing as they were looking for engagement rings. So we thought about how to start from, that problem itself and that need and build a business around that, as opposed to just becoming another run-of-the-mill jeweler. And we came up with this concept of the home preview, which is our bridge between online and offline shopping. So the home preview currently allows a customer to preview 2 exact replicas of their chosen ring styles that are customized for metal, diamond shape, carat weight, all those kinds of elements that you would think about before putting together your dream engagement ring, and preview those rings at home for free before they buy. And this was an amazing solution to kind of get people over that hurdle and fear of buying a ring online sight unseen, and also offer them that convenience for free of being able to sample and try rings out without having to drive to tons of different jewelry stores, spend the time with different salespeople who may or may not be kind of pushing a decision that they weren't necessarily comfortable with, and also giving them the selection and the quality and the amazing pricing that you see with any kind of online shopping. So luckily, this home preview solution ended up being a great way to bridge that online-offline gap. And it helped us to propel and make the company itself stand out from the flock of other people who are trying to sell jewelry online. We started off with that concept, and in the beginning, it was just the two of us in a tiny little corner of an office space sharing a desk. And we've now grown the company to over 14 people who are working with us full time, and then we have additional, of course, freelancers and, interns, et cetera, that work with us to continue to grow this company.
That's fantastic. And one of the things that really stands out to me the most about With Clarity is not only the story part that you bring into it with the fact that you really wanted to alleviate the stresses that your friends and family members were going through when picking out an engagement ring, but also that you were able to grow it exponentially this past year alone. So what would you say contributed to the fact that you were able to grow by 900% within this past year, besides the fact that you were standing out so much from other competitors and really kind of disrupting the traditional jewelry industry?
Sure. So I think a couple really key things happened for us in the early stages of the company that helped propel the growth. First and foremost was becoming part of Entrepreneurs Roundtable Accelerator, which is a technology-focused accelerator here in New York City. And we were lucky enough to be a part of that kind of at the very early stages of the inception of the company itself. So we could further refine our ideas, refine the target of, who our audience is, how to get to them, what the correct messaging should be. We were able to also work within the accelerator to develop a great network of investors, leading to two subsequent rounds of venture capital financing. So that really helped us to propel the growth of the company, give us the resources and the potential to, grow our customer base. The second exciting thing that happened last year for us was we started off actually being called For Mine, with a very different looking type of site. And we worked last year to completely rebrand the site and change the name of the company to With Clarity. And the reasons we did this were because as we sold and interacted with our customers, we noticed that we were not really resonating in terms of our brand look and feel. Although our product offering, our service, all of that was working really well, that piece was not as refined as we wanted it to be. So after we completed this rebrand, I think customers really saw that not only was our product set and our service what they wanted to see as a millennial shopper looking for convenience, value, and transparency, but the name of the brand, the look of the site, the imagery, everything, the way we conveyed our story was really resonating with them. So I think that hand in hand worked really well to project a very consolidated, really strong image to the customer. And the second thing that I think, we've been working on since we started is refining the sales and marketing funnel to systematically kind of personalize and tailor the approach to each customer to make engagement ring buying very accessible, stress-free, even if it is online, even if they're not one-on-one interacting with a salesperson, they never feel that way. And I think that's our core focus that many other jewelers don't necessarily focus on all the time, or make their most important priority. So I think that really helped us continue on this trajectory of growth.
Awesome. And I love that you specifically talked about the rebrand after realizing that after speaking with your customers and people who were really participating within your brand, you realized that what you had with For Mine wasn't exactly resonating with what it should be. So being able to identify that within a business and making sure that everything is consistent across all of your brand messaging and things like that can do so much for your business, as it has shown with you.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it was definitely a risk that we took because having existed for a couple years online, changing your name, changing your URL has many implications on the marketing front, on the trust front. But I think we did a good job of communicating to our customers who we were, why we were changing our name and look and feel, and also reinforcing that we are the same on the inside. It's the same people, the same people who are making their jewelry, who are interacting with them and helping them pick out what they need as gemologists. So with that reassurance, I think we were able to make it a seamless process, and actually one that we wanted to help us grow and continue to establish that trust with customers.
Absolutely. And I think you listed great advice for anyone who would like to consider going through a rebrand or a name change within their business. Because I mean, when we start our businesses, where we start isn't exactly where we end. So that's some things that will hold people back is going through a name change because they're like, I built all this time and effort into building this company and having people know me as this name. What's going to happen when I change to another name? So I think that hearing the success that you have had by being able to rebrand from For Mine to With Clarity gives hope to other people who may kind of find themselves in a situation.
Right. Yeah. And I think when making any big moves like this, it's always important to consider all the risks, outline everything and calculate it beforehand. So you're not in a situation where you, you know, lost something or lost customer trust because you didn't think about all the angles that you needed to address beforehand. So I would say, yeah, the most important thing about taking a risk is making sure it's calculated and you're mitigating any kind of fallout around it.
Definitely. So once you had started with Clarity, which was previously For Mine, what was the most difficult start of parting your business?
The most difficult part of starting the business was the fact that it was a very saturated and traditional industry. Jewelry making has been in existence for as long as, you know, I mean, basically as long as humans have existed, there's been some form of jewelry making. And specifically, diamond engagement rings have been a very, you know, like it's a cultural staple, I should say. So it's not something where we were reinventing the product itself. And there's many other very, very large jewelers online and offline that have large marketing budgets. They're names that everyone knows from the get-go, even before they start shopping for jewelry or engagement rings. So when you're entering the jewelry arena, you're kind of competing not only with the smaller players, but all of those big players. So you really need to find a way to differentiate yourself to the customer, to investors, to everyone around you so that they feel like there's a reason for you to exist specifically, for you to, you know, provide a certain value to the customer. So I think honing in on that and consistently proving that year after year to ourselves, our company, our customers, our investors, that has been kind of the challenging aspect of operating in this business.
Yeah.
We've carved out a space for ourselves. We've carved out a loyal fan following and a customer base who can kind of vouch for all the values that we stand for, which is what our goal was. And I think if we just consistently keep building on that, we can go a long way.
You're absolutely right. And I think that one of the most important things of starting a business is doing exactly what you said, finding ways to stand apart from not only your smaller competitors, but also the really big ones, because you really want to be able to focus on unique selling, your unique selling proposition, your USP that sets you apart from others and makes your customers or clients think, well, why should I work with this company or buy something with this company rather than another one? And so being able to identify that and clearly communicate it throughout all of your marketing efforts and interactions with your consumers will do so much for showing why you're such a valuable brand to work with.
Right. And I think a lot of companies maybe don't see when they're selling a B2C product, they're not understanding all the time that it's a lot more about relationship building than they think it is, especially when it comes to online shopping, because you don't have the opportunity to interact with someone face to face, to ask those easy questions that you might be able to in a conversation. You really have to find creative ways to understand who your customer is and what do they want and what differentiates their thought process at every stage of the sales funnel. So when they're starting out, it might be more research oriented. When they're going further down the line, it might be questions about you as a company, maybe checking your reviews, checking, you know, what other customers have said. And further down the line, it might be more nitty gritty how to operate and figure out what to do on your website itself. So I think you have to really put yourself in the mindset of the customer. Think about what doubts and questions they have at every stage and do your best to address those in creative ways. And you have to keep innovating with that because, you know, once that becomes stale, you're not really a brand or a company that someone's going to be excited to work with.
I love that you mentioned that because that is one thing that I always share with my clients and anyone else who specifically focus on marketing is that you want to be able to identify the wants and needs that your target audience has and then be able to solve those or fulfill them. And once you're able to do that, that's when you're demonstrating the value that you provide. And that's when people view you as a credible expert within the industry and will want to work with you or purchase from you. So I love that you mentioned that because just being able to communicate that and then also, as you mentioned, be able to innovate it as needed is so important for any business.
Right, absolutely. And along with that, I think keeping very open and clear lines of communication really helps, especially when it's a high value item, like something you're spending thousands of dollars on or something that has a lengthy sales cycle where there's a lot of research and questions involved. So keeping those lines of communication open so people feel like you're not trying to just take their money, but you're trying to actually give them some value or something, that a shopping experience that's worth the, you know, expense. That makes a huge difference also.
I think that's a great point that you mentioned too, with the fact that there tends to be a little bit more hesitation from consumers who are buying these high ticket items. So have you found that your sales process has had to be a little bit different because of that, because of the fact that you're really wanting to connect with them and build relationships with them, which will ultimately get them to purchase this item that's worth thousands of dollars?
Yeah, I think, you know, this took us some time to really fully scope out and understand, but an engagement ring is a very considered purchase. Sometimes, you know, people spend several months figuring out what they want to get specifically, involving also many months of research, many questions that need to be answered before they feel comfortable. So, like I said, we do our best to really be a resource and a guide more than anything else, because to establish that customer trust and, you know, have people see us as a helping hand, not necessarily just someone who wants to sell something, is very important. So I think we make that our priority when it comes to building out our content marketing, building out our the way that our sales and service team approaches dealing with customers. You know, we have a sales team that is fully comprised of gemologists who are trained and certified in understanding diamonds and gems, because we want every piece of advice and every conversation to revolve around alleviating doubts and questions, as opposed to just, you know, saying, hey, you should buy this. So I think with that mindset, we're able to make the most out of every lead that comes our way, and also make sure our customers are minimizing returns, minimizing dissatisfaction with what they get in the mail.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you mentioned that you focus more on being a resource and a guide than anything else, because I think that is such an important mindset for so many different businesses to adapt and really follow through on for their customers.
Yeah, I think, you know, being as close to a friend as possible is the best way to approach relationship building and building customers that are actually going to refer you to their friends, as opposed to just seeing it as like a transaction where, you know, once they're done, they're gone. A lot of the sales that we do get come through people who've referred family and friends, because they had not only a great experience, but also enjoyed the quality of and the value of the jewelry that they received.
Absolutely. And so throughout the past few years of owning with Clarity, what would you say has been the most rewarding part of it?
I think the most rewarding part actually is on a regular basis when we hear customer stories and we see pictures of proposals. For me personally, that's been the most rewarding and happy thing to see, that we're able to be part of such special, important moments in people's lives. And that really makes all the effort seem worthwhile, all the, you know, figuring out of how to operate and get to them and get, you know, that piece of jewelry to them that they really want to celebrate their special occasion. And especially at a time like this, when, you know, things are a little bit tough on everyone, and operating a business at this time also is a little bit of a, you know, it's a difficult situation all around. But then when we see that people are able to enjoy a couple of happy moments because of, you know, the jewelry that we were able to make for them, or have their proposal happen regardless of what's going on in the outside world, I think that's the most rewarding thing. And I'm really happy that we're able to make a product that is part of such a big life moment for people. It's not something insignificant. It's actually a big, big thing that they'll keep with them for the rest of their lives, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is just one of the most amazing things about being a business owner, is just being able to make an impact in some way. And it sounds like that's exactly what you have done through with Clarity, is just being able to know that you are directly supporting people in an incredibly exciting time in their life, and just being able to hear these happy stories that come from it.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Sleisha, if there was one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, or one thing you wish you did differently, what would it be and why?
If there was one thing I could do differently, I think any business owner or any startup individual is always a little bit afraid to take risks, especially in areas where they don't know the subject matter or they don't feel like they're already an expert. And oftentimes, you know, in a startup, you're having to wear multiple hats every single day, learn new skills, adapt, and do a lot of experimentation to get to your goal. So in the beginning, I think anyone approaches, you know, any kind of goal that they have in terms of their startup with a lot of maybe over-assessing things, overthinking things. But I think I would go back and tell myself that, you know what, just go for it. Do these experiments. Of course, make sure you're taking calculated risks, getting all the advice that you can from anyone else. But at the end of the day, if you have the drive to do something or learn something, you can do it. Even if it's not 100% perfect the first time around, you can always go back and reiterate on your, you know, on your project, on your site design, on your product, whatever it is. But it's important to keep moving forward. Don't spend a lot of time worrying or thinking about the risks. Do and then learn from that. And always remember to take those lessons and improve on what you've already done. And you're going to make mistakes, but don't let that hold you back.
I think that's great advice, especially because I know that a lot of entrepreneurs will stop themselves from moving forward in their business because they feel like everything needs to be absolutely perfect before they actually launch and hit that go button, basically. So people get too caught up in the small details and making sure that all of their ducks are in a row. But really, as you mentioned, just going ahead and doing it and taking those calculated risks and then going back and learning from the things that didn't work out so well will do so much more for you in the long run.
Right. And I guess you have to remember that every business owner, every startup, you know, business, there's going to be mistakes. There always are mistakes. It's just that those mistakes that lead to the final success aren't as talked about. So you know, you don't necessarily see that. All you see is the points of success that, you know, people love talking about. So I would say just have some confidence and, you know, learn as much as you can, soak up as much as you can, and then just make decisions, do experiments, and move forward.
Absolutely. And going along with that, why do you think it's so important for people to start a business at a young age specifically?
I think there's a couple things. You know, we started out when we got married, which was an interesting time to make a big life change. It's a risk at any point in life, but luckily, we didn't have, you know, children at that time. Obviously, we didn't have any major financial obligations in the sense of if we didn't have a steady paycheck or a guaranteed paycheck, it wasn't going to ruin our lives. So we were blessed in that sense that we had a little bit of space to experiment, to grow, and to create this business. So that ended up being a good thing. And you know, since we didn't have any other commitments in that sense, we had all the time in the world to really just heads down, focus on our business and work on it. And you really need to do that. If you're going to go all in and bank on an idea, you need to literally be committed to spending every moment you can either working on it or thinking about how you can work on it. And that's just the reality of how startups work. You can't expect yourself to move ahead in a significant way if you're not all in and you kind of make it your work as well as your hobby, as well as what you think about on a regular basis. And, you know, a lot of people talk about work-life balance, but for us, because we started this business as soon as we got married, it kind of became a big portion of our work-life balance. And I think if you're really passionate about an idea, you won't see thinking about it or talking about it as work all the time. You know, it becomes a passion for you, something that is rewarding outside of just being work. Not to say that you shouldn't take breaks or have a life, but, you know, if you have that kind of dedication, I think you can really take your idea to the next level. And then the second thing with being young and working on a startup is you don't have family commitments in terms of having children or, you know, things that can slow you down when you're at a sort of a later age. You have more energy, you have the ability to go out and maybe network and do all those kinds of things that you can do when you're older, but, you know, you have other things you have to manage and juggle your time with. So we now actually have an almost 2-year-old. So if I had had my two-year-old when we were starting this business, I know I wouldn't have been as effectively able to dedicate as much time to it. So I'm glad that we started the business before we, you know, went down the road of having children.
I think you're absolutely right, especially because exactly as you mentioned, I mean, being young gives you so many more opportunities than what you would have if you are older, because we don't have to pay mortgages. We don't have huge bills we need to focus on. I mean, maybe student loans, but we don't have children for the most part and things like that. So we have so much more time, energy, and effort to focus on building these businesses that are so important to us. And I also like the part that you mentioned about the work-life balance, because when you're truly passionate about something, it ends up being something that you live and breathe and enjoy doing it. So exactly to your point, of course, you should still take breaks, but having a business that you're so passionate about and you love wholeheartedly will also lead to its success because you fully believe in its mission and want to see it go through to the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, also when you're younger, you are not as, the risks that you take in life are not going to have as severe implications as they might when you're older. So you don't have to think as hard before taking a risk. You can always pivot and turn your career into something else when you're younger. When you're older, you're kind of risking all those years of work and effort that you've put in maybe some other direction to go down a different route. So it has to be a more of a calculated risk.
You're absolutely right. And that was one thing a lot of people said to me when I started my business at 19. They had said, well, this is actually a great time for you to start your business because you're still in college. So if it doesn't work out, then it's almost like it's okay. You can just move on to another job or go into the corporate route because you had kind of balanced it while you were still really figuring things out. So as you mentioned, I mean, just being able to use that time while you have it and take the opportunity while you can will do so much for you.
Right.
Salisha, if there was one last piece of advice that you could leave with our listeners for someone who may just be starting out with beginning their business, what would it be?
I think the best piece of advice, especially for someone maybe who's still in school or college, is try to think outside the box in terms of what you can learn, who you can learn it from, and where you can learn it. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're sometimes very focused on the traditional aspects of learning, like going to classes or learning from, you know, projects that we do, but try to expand your horizons in terms of the internships you do, shadowing different types of people with different careers, just networking and reaching out and dropping in a quick LinkedIn message to someone who maybe is in your alumni network. Just try to get as much feedback from people as possible while you're in that stage. Also, you know, there's so many new and interesting ways to educate yourself nowadays online. You can take additional classes, you can do free coursework, you can watch YouTube videos. So I think if I had to go back, I would say before finalizing what you want to do in terms of your career or your startup, or even, you know, what path you want to go down, whether it's one or the other, try to soak in as much learning as possible from not only traditional sources, but also non-traditional ones. And think about how you can make yourself stand out and be as diverse in your skill set as possible. That'll help you come up with your startup idea. It'll help you maybe succeed in the corporate world. It'll maybe help you do both things at the same time. But I think you shouldn't limit your learning to just what you see around you. Stretch yourself a little bit.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you mentioned that, because that is one thing that I also fully believe in too, is the fact that you never know enough. There's always something more that you can be learning. And I love that you mentioned looking for those non-traditional places to be learning and always finding other people to connect with who can provide value to you, because that's how you continue to grow. And kind of going along with that, one of my favorite sayings is, and one of the things that I fully believe in is, I never want to be the smartest person in the room. So being able to surround yourself with people who can share valuable advice and experience who have done it before can do so much for your own learning path.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think learning ever stops, and it can only help you to constantly be innovating in terms of the ways you can learn.
Definitely. Well, Salisha, you have shared so much amazing advice throughout this episode with our listeners, especially with your journey of starting with Clarity. And now I'd love if you can share where our listeners can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Sure. Anyone can access our site. It's withclarity.com to see, you know, who we're who we are, our story, and of course our product offerings. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, then the handle is at MyWithClarity on any of the major networks. So we're happy to connect there and talk through not only, you know, anything related to our brand itself, but anything related to our business.
Fabulous. And I'll put all those links in the show notes too, in case anyone missed them. But Sleisha, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was so nice to speak with you.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.